Hi, this is Ken McCarthy, and today we're going to be talking with Kim Dushinsky, among other things, the author of The Mobile Marketing Handbook. Welcome, Kim.
Hey, Ken. Nice to talk to you.
We're talking with Kim for a number of reasons. One, she's become an expert, and by that I mean somebody with a published book and somebody who's regularly asked to speak at conferences in her industry and who is followed by lots of people, you know, for information about where the mobile marketing industry is going. We're going to talk with her about that work. We're also going to talk with her about her experiences at the System Seminar, because she got the foundation for her online marketing approach from the System Seminar. She's going to talk about how that helped her develop, you know, a number of different ways. Before we go on, let's let everybody know about your book and about your websites.
Sure. Well, the Mobile Marketing Handbook is about mobile marketing. It's a very hands-on book about how to do mobile marketing campaigns. I'm happy to say it's gone into a second printing, and my publisher is asking me to, you know, submit a proposal to get a second edition going to come out in the next year or so. I get emails and tweets and Facebook, you know, information from people around the world thanking me for it and telling me how it's helping them, and people are launching businesses around the whole mobile space using my book. So it's really been fun. I have to say, writing the book has been one of the best things that I've done.
And I want to point out to everybody, it was a leap, an intelligent leap, but a leap, because you began the research for this book before mobile marketing really became a buzzword.
Yeah, I started it in 2007, actually. It was spring of 2007. I had been looking for a transition from my book publicity business, which I was sort of wanting to transition out of. Decided that I didn't really want to go into internet marketing fully. I knew a lot from the system, and I was considering that, but I wanted something where I could be on the cutting edge of things and not, you know, it just appealed to me to be on something new. And so that's how I got into mobile, was looking for something new. And when I realized there wasn't much out there for how people could learn it, coming from the publishing world, I thought, oh, this would be a perfect spot for a book, and pitched a publisher that I knew, and off I went, writing a book on it.
The basic numbers that I always like to share with people to help them understand why mobile marketing is important and is going to be becoming progressively more important is there's about 1 billion people with some kind of access to the Internet, but there's over 3 billion people, if I have the number correct, who have cell phones, and many of those folks are graduating to smartphones like the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. They've actually released that figure to be 4 billion.
Okay, I figured it.
It's like crazy. I know. It's amazing. Yeah. So 4 billion phone subscriptions out of 6 billion people. It's just, you know, pretty much everybody has one.
I was reading the other day about somebody who was traveling in an undeveloped country, and he was shocked that people riding camels and selling from a bag on the street corner, they all had cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Well, they skipped over the Internet, you know, and they skipped over landline phones, they skipped over Internet, and now they just went straight to cell phones.
And progressively, as cell phones and especially smartphones become more dominant, more and more people are accessing, and this is something for Internet marketers that we should comment on, more and more people are accessing the web via their smartphones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's growing. I heard a statistic just yesterday, and I haven't tracked down the source, but I heard it I was on a webinar yesterday, and one of the other panelists said that he'd heard that mobile web use had grown 600% in the last year.
Wow.
So it's just going to keep skyrocketing.
And I think even at this late date, this is catching a lot of internet marketers by surprise. And so I would say, at a minimum, one of the things you'd want to learn and following Kim is how to make sure you've got a mobile-friendly version of your website.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess the next step would be, you know, coming up with some mobile applications that might be of particular interest to your business. Hey, let's actually, while we have this chance, let's talk about what may be a myth. When the iPhone first came out and the apps first came out, there was a real amazing spike of people coming out of nowhere and making really significant money with iPhone apps. And I'm sure there are still great hits, you know, where people are going from rags to riches via iPhone apps. And I recently saw, we won't name them, but a famous adult education chain had a full page ad in one of the New York City newspapers saying, iPhone apps, the road to riches, you don't need to know anything, you don't need to do anything, just come to our course and we'll tell you everything you need to know. Realistic, unrealistic, where is the iPhone app industry in reality based on your day-to-day experience with it?
Well, the interesting thing about iPhones is, one, their marketing department is brilliant, and they should be winning, you know, accolades for doing great marketing, because the reality is that iPhones are a very small fraction. So you were saying, you know, of the smartphone market here in the U.S., it's 25%, and Apple is a tiny fraction of that. They're not even a majority of the smartphone users, so they're a very small, I mean, it's a big market. They use their phones voraciously, but they're not the biggest thing. BlackBerry is actually the biggest. They've got an app store as well. BlackBerry has an app store. The Android, you know, the Google phones, they have app stores. Android is up and coming. It's like the thing that's going to overtake very quickly, I'm sure. The Google Android system will be the big 800-pound gorilla soon, I would say.
Really? So you heard it here first. I haven't been following it very closely, but that's what it looks like to you.
Well, because they're going across carriers, they're going to be multiple phones, it's open source. I mean, they're just laying the groundwork. They're able to now make phones that are iPhone copies, is what they're calling them. So they're basically taking the best of the device, the things that people love about it, and opening it up.
And, of course, you've got the Google brand, and
right.
Then Google's incomparable media reach.
Right.
If Google wants to push their phone, you know, just with the press of a button, generate millions of dollars worth of free advertising for themselves in a split second.
Right.
Which is quite an advantage. So this is interesting. So, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, so that said, the app market is sort of a dichotomy. On one hand, you know, yeah, there's you know, tens of thousands of apps out there. If you can do it right and reach your market, it's all about smart marketing. If you can develop something someone wants, like you always teach in the system, if there's a pool there and you're going to dive in and there's people ready and wanting it, that's the first step. If you can do that in an app, you know, what are people wanting? Find the hungry market, build the right thing, and market it. It's one of the things I love about the system is that the information you get there translates into whatever it is you're doing. So apps, yeah, you could hit a gold mine, make a bunch of money on apps, but it's all about being a smart marketer and a smart business person. It's not about the technology per se.
Absolutely, and smart marketing, I'm glad you pointed this out. I've always felt, and I have no reason to change my opinion, is that 80% of smart marketing is picking the right market at the right time. An example is you deciding to write a book on mobile marketing and taking the leap in 2007 so that when the market started to really come into its own, you had a product ready, and you were the first, really, with a practical handbook to mobile marketing. I don't want to put you in the position of saying anything against your competing writers, but has anybody else come out with a book yet that's practical?
There is another one that's coming out. I believe that it'll be coming out this spring by a lady named Cindy Crum, K-R-U-M, and her book will be, it's coming out by Pearson, and so the title is just Mobile Marketing, and I actually was a technical editor for the book, so I've actually read it, the whole thing already, and it's a good book, a lot of practical stuff in there, you know, so that'll be one that I'll definitely be recommending this spring when it comes out, and then obviously by the time next year comes around, I'll have a second edition of my book as well.
Gotcha. So there's just one practical guide. I mean, there's been a lot written about mobile marketing, but in terms of making it practical for small business people, there really is only one that I know of. Another one's going to come out in the spring, and you've had a hand in that one as a technical editor. So going back to the apps question,
mm-hmm.
if somebody is burning to get in the apps business, the most important thing is make sure that you know the market. That there's nothing. In other words, there's nothing magical about writing an app. Just writing an app and putting it on the store is not going to mean anything.
No, it's just the same as putting up a website. You can put up a website about anything, but if no one's looking for it or wanting it, you're not going to get any traffic. It's the same thing with an app. And in fact, it may be even a little worse because your marketing screen, if you will, online is so small. You know, if somebody's on their phone looking for an app, you know, how many can fit on one screen? It's a lot less than if they were shopping on their desktop.
Let's say somebody's done good market research. They know a market really well. They have a good hunch that the market that they know and can reach would probably be interested in this app, but they're not technical. How do you go about finding an app programmer. Do you have any hints on that or any experience with that?
Well, there's a ton of them out there. I would say that you would, you know, look for people who have done successful apps in the past because they're going to be instrumental in helping you get it distributed as well. That's one of the things that working with a good app developer will do for you, because they know the process of submitting and, you know, all that. And I really haven't done all that much in apps. Like, I have not developed one or, you know, brought one to market, but I've just really watched sort of what people are doing.
Now, would you say that if somebody's starting in apps cold, based on the size of the markets now, maybe it sounds like it would be better for them to focus on the Android?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I would say Android or BlackBerry. I think those are the two ones. First of all, they're not as saturated as iPhone, so you've got a smaller pool of competition. And, yeah, Android is definitely the up-and-coming, and BlackBerry is already the firmly entrenched.
And yet, strangely, the app, as I understand it right now at the time of this interview, the app market for BlackBerry is not really well developed yet.
No, it's really not, and it's not marketed as well. I mean, you know, you don't. I mean, BlackBerry doesn't even really advertise so much about apps on their. You know, I mean, iPhone did. You know, Apple did such a great job with the iPhone of making it seem normal. You know, oh yeah, of course, you go on the internet on your phone. It's normal. Oh, you want something? You get an app for that. There's an app for that. I mean, it just sort of, you know, normal, and BlackBerry's not doing that, but it is there.
Gotcha.
And Android will definitely be, they'll be doing a lot more with that.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've covered the basic fact, which is that as powerful as the internet is, mobile is significantly bigger, and it seems to have grown a new billion users since the time you started your book, which is plausible, because again, I have friends that travel in you know, pretty out remote places, and they're always shocked at the number of people that have cell phones, so they seem to be everywhere. The second issue is that progressively more and more people are accessing the web via mobile, and so you really want to get knowledgeable about how to make a mobile version. And by the way, what happens is your server will be able to tell that it's being accessed by a mobile device, and then it will serve up a version for mobile-sized screens. That's basically how it works.
Yeah, you have to do some bit of programming in there, but yes, that's the way that it should work.
Great. So you want to look into that. And then since there is a tremendous amount of hype right now about apps and the millions of dollars that you can make in apps with no experience necessary, I think Kim's giving you some really good market intelligence on where the real opportunity may be. It may not be in the iPhone after all. It may be in BlackBerry or in Android. So consider that. And of course, yeah.
I just would say one of the other things I'd like to point out is a much less glamorous thing, but it's about email. You know, we all as internet marketers rely on our email to deliver for us. You know, we expect to send it, get it, make things happen, people respond. And if your email doesn't work on mobile, you're in big trouble, because people check their email on their mobile devices now all the time. So this is a whole other reason that fancy, you know, HTML or sending out PDFs as emails, you know, they're all pretty and nice on the big desktop. But if somebody's opening on their email, it's a done deal. You're getting deleted. You're missing it, and you will think you haven't opened because someone opened it. You know, your open rates will show it, but it's not going to do it. So email, mobile email, is something that I'm really talking a lot to people about as well.
I love that, because that's that kind of, you know, bread and butter stuff that's not very glamorous, and yet it probably carries 90% of all the actual weight in commerce, right? I mean, if your emails are not being read, you're kind of dead in the water.
Yeah.
Now, you've been working, we had a call, oh, God, it might have been a year ago now, with a colleague of yours who's created an interesting autoresponder service for mobile. How's that coming? I mean, I know it was actually launched.
I actually need to check in on her as well, because I think she got lured into social media.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh, no. So I need to check on that. I know the program's still there and it's still going, but I don't know that she's doing a ton with it. And if she's not, I'm going to sort of suggest that somebody else take it over, because I think it's a very powerful tool.
Yeah, I mean, and I have to say, this is where I think a system seminar education comes in handy. We're very fundamentals driven, you know, we all, I think that's one of the things that we just focus on relentlessly. And there are a lot of things that are glamorous that are and trendy and faddish that are a lot of fun that turn out to, you know, maybe be not worth that much time at the end of the day. And then there are other things that are like absolutely essential to success, like capturing email addresses,
autoresponders,
you know, following up with people. I mean, none of this is glamorous, and yet I think that's where about, you know, 95% of all the money in the world gets made. This social media phenomenon has been interesting. I finally gave in and became a Twitterer. And
yes,
I actually like it. You read something kind of interesting, or you know, you have a thought that you want to share, and usually I would write it down on a little scrap of paper, and it would get lost, and no one would ever see it, and I forget that it existed. And so now I tweet those things, and I like following. I follow very selectively. I basically have taken the people I follow and I put them into categories. And so if I want to read marketers, I click on my marketer link and I follow all my people that I'm following in marketing and so on. I don't use it at all as a social device, and I know that a lot of people do. I think Twittering is cool. But I am a little concerned at the how much emphasis lately is being put on social media, as if somehow you can bypass all the common sense foundations of direct marketing and direct response and just Twitter a lot or Facebook a lot, and somehow that alone is going to result in commerce.
Right, you know? Right. It's just one more piece in the equation.
I know, having grown up in New York, there's a lot of interesting people that live there, obviously, and one of the common characters in New York City is the celebrity who has no money. I don't know if you remember Tiny Tim. You'd have to be kind of 50 plus to remember this guy, but he used to appear on Johnny Carson. He was a weird dude, and he was on TV all the time when I was a kid. And he had a lot of celebrity, but he lived in my neighborhood, and he had no money. So yes, you can probably use social media to get your name on everyone's lips, but it's good to have a business behind it so you have things to sell them and ways to convert that interest into cash. And that's classic direct marketing.
Uh-huh.
Social marketing to me is a very, and you're from the PR industry originally.
Uh-huh.
Social marketing is a really interesting way to augment PR.
And I'll give you an example of how it works. There's a lady that I follow on Twitter, and I sort of felt like I had found her there. And I got on her email list, and one day I got an email from her, and I realized, and I use Gmail, and so it just plugs it in there, and so I saw that I had two of them. And I thought, now why am I getting two of her newsletter? And I opened it up, and I looked down at the bottom, and she uses the system that tells you when you subscribed, and I realized I had been on her email list for years, but I didn't recognize that I was on her list. I didn't recognize her name. She had sort of just gone under my radar, even though she was emailing me. I think I probably put a filter on or something like that. But because I had now this continual contact through social media, now she blipped into my awareness of, oh, now I know her. However, it's her emails that get me to, you know, buy something or click into her website. I mean, it's kind of it's just one more layer of connection, if you will.
Another touch.
Right, exactly. So it's kind of one without the other. If I just had social media but no emails and no great website, would I ever do any business with her? No. But that because the social media popped up, then now all of a sudden her emails have a little more weight for me because I feel like I know her a little bit more because she's in my Twitter stream. You see, it just...
Absolutely. And that's why it makes sense to, if you're only doing text, to consider recording yourself or recording yourself, you know, in interviews settings. And if you have text and audio, you know, consider branching out into video. And if you have an email list but no blog, you know, strongly consider having a blog. In fact, I wish. See, blogging is a frustration to me because I actually did something that was pretty much blogging way back in 97. I did near daily posts about a particular news thing that was unfolding in San Francisco. And so when blogs came along, I was like, I've been there, done that. You know, what's the big deal? And, of course, there's a huge deal to blogging. And I want to urge everybody, if you're in business and you're trying to generate interest in your products and your company, definitely you're going to be doing a lot of writing, or I recommend that you do a lot of writing. And rather than just send that writing out in emails or in random web pages, keep it all together in one place on a blog. You'll be very happy you did. I wish that I had embraced the blogging technology, the technology part of blogging, years ago, because I would now have like hundreds of integrated articles all in one place, as opposed to, you know, articles on this drive over here and emails we sent out in 2003. But you know, you live and learn. So the point is, the more different ways you can package what you are trying to get across, Twitter, email, blog articles, text messaging, absolutely. Dare I say direct mail? Direct mail is really expensive, and you know, the hassle factor is somewhat high. But we continually have the experience of when we combine email campaigns with just simple postcard. We've been sadly too lazy to do the good old classic direct mail with a letter and so on. But when we combine email with postcards, it's been magic. You know, I'm talking about sometimes increasing response rates by over 100%. Mm-hmm. And of course, you pay for that response, but yeah, I'd rather have the response than not have it. So social media, definitely. One thing, and maybe you could give a tip on this, it's so easy to get absorbed into the social media matrix and never come out the other end. How do you recommend that people become effective users of social media, which I translate as minimum time, maximum results?
Well, I think that you have to think about what your goals are. You know, what are you using it for? You know, and just, you know, recognize that it's a relationship building tool, and then put some time limits on. I mean, literally, you could do, you know, if you could do social media 24 hours a day if you wanted to. It's sort of always there. But, you know, set the time, you know, turn on, you know, say, okay, I'm going to check in between, you know, this time and this time, set a timer, do as much as you can, and then get off, you know. You know, I also sort of do it, you know, it is, for me, it is fun, and I do like some of the social aspects. So what I do is I tell myself, if I'm at work, I'm doing it for work purposes, but evenings and weekends, I can jump in and, you know, converse and, you know, chat and, you know, oh, hey, I'm watching the Olympics. I mean, I'm doing a lot of Olympic stuff, you know, these days, and like, why can't I hold my breath and make the snowboarders not fall, you know? But, you know, so it's like that's sort of my thing is if it's work time, I'm working. If it's, you know, weekends or evenings, I can have a little more fun with it.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that setting, knowing what you're doing it for and setting a time limit is big. And while we're on the subject of Twitter, maybe one last Twitter point. I don't know if this is still making the rounds of the internet, but for a while there I was seeing these crazy courses that said, basically there were ways to manipulate Twitter to get, you know, tens of thousands of followers, you know, quickly, and then basically once you get them, you just spam them with, you know, offers, and somehow that's supposed to lead to you getting rich. I don't know if I'm doing justice to the ad copy, but... What's your take on it? I assume you've seen these kind of courses.
Oh yeah. I mean, it doesn't work in Twitter. It doesn't work in real. I mean, it doesn't work in any technology. I mean, tricking people, spamming people, doing, you know, unethical things. It just doesn't work. You know, long term. I mean, you may get a little spike of something, but you're not building a viable business that you can have. You know, it's like when people would do that whole thing of, you know, cranking out sites and turn businesses that were not, there was no foundation to it, you know, spewing out fake blogs that were supposed to get traffic and then people click. I mean, those are just gone because people can't, doesn't, you know, sustain itself. So.
Yeah, and in the case of Google, Google figured out how to identify fake websites.
Right, you know, and Twitter is doing the same thing. You know, they'll you know turn off accounts, and people don't continue to follow. I mean, it's you know people can unfollow just as quickly as they follow. So
that's a lot of unfortunately what's promoted as internet business, but of course that's not really internet business. And maybe this is a good segue to talk about your experience with the system seminar. When you first came to us as a student, you had a very successful book publicity business. You had a lot of employees, a lot of clients. And how did being exposed to our approach to internet marketing change the way you looked at business, the way you ran your business?
Well, at the time, you know, this was early 2000s, or like 2002, I think, was the first system I came to. I think I came to the second system. And at the time, we were getting a lot of our business really just through word of mouth. You know, people would call someone in the book industry, and then they'd pass them along. So we were sort of dependent on waiting for the phone to ring for someone to find us. And so what we had done was, you know, we had a website, but it, you know, at that point it really wasn't doing as much. So we really ramped up and started getting a lot of our business online. As well, I was able to then realize that the internet was such a valuable tool, and then we turned in to teaching authors how to use the internet to market their business. So I definitely right away used it for bringing business into us right away, as well as then leveraging that knowledge to teach, you know, our clients. So right away I did, you know, both of those things.
That's an interesting point. You got a strong enough foundation that within a very short amount of time, you were able to turn around and legitimately teach other people how to use the internet for business. Sometimes I forget how many of our students have done that, and not only done that, but written books. So you've written a book. Perry Marshall did something very similar. He learned pay-per-click from us at his first seminar, and within weeks, that's what he was pitching to his direct marketing clients. And I remember him telling me, you know, he'd go to a cattle call where they were evaluating, you know, 15 different proposals from 15 different direct marketing companies, and they all pretty much saying the same thing. And then Perry would ride in. And he's got this way to do, you know, targeted traffic, turn it on, turn it off, test it. And all of a sudden, he became the most popular guy at the party. That didn't take him long to make that jump. And someone else who started with us from scratch in the internet side of things, Howie Jacobson, who's he now has his own book out and his, you know, on pay-per-click advertising and his own following. So I think it's fair to say that. And tell me, you know, if I need to adjust this and make it more accurate, that we compact a lot of absolutely solid, valid, useful, real-world information into the training, so much so that when you walk out the door, you're actually a very knowledgeable person all of a sudden.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, you know, 100%. And in fact, I mean, I sort of use the system all the time. I mean, I like just this week I was looking and sort of saying, okay, I need to readjust. My target markets turned out to be a little different than I thought it would be. You know, who's coming to me is people saying, how do I start a business in mobile versus the businesses saying, how do I use mobile to market myself? And so I said, okay, now I need to readjust everything. What do I do? And I right away my brain instinctively went to, okay, traffic, conversion, success. I mean, I just I use it so instinctively I sort of forget, and then I realize, hey, that's just a system. You know, I just use it. And so, yeah, absolutely. From the moment I stepped foot in to the place to today, you know, years later and all the updates, I mean, yeah, it's just ingrained in what I do.
Yeah, I got that insight, traffic plus conversion, which is a very simple thing, and it really comes from classic direct marketing, because there's a lot of formulas like that in direct marketing. But I remember when I was teaching a while back, it was kind of hard to get people to focus on the things that mattered, because the internet, just by nature, it's got all these bells and whistles, and it's endlessly fascinating. And
shiny objects.
Yeah, yeah. And there's always these new tools emerging and new personalities and new methods and new jargon. And I could see people just getting overwhelmed really fast. So I said, look, forget all that stuff.
Yeah.
You need traffic. You need your market to be coming to your website. And then when they come to your page, you need to focus on conversion. And in conversion, what are we talking about? We're talking about getting them to take some kind of measurable action. It may be asking for a free report. It may just be downloading an audio or a PDF. It may be making a purchase. But something that you're proposing, and then they're saying yes or no to, because that allows you to track. That allows you to see, gee, that this page is not terribly effective because 100 people came to it. Nobody did what I hoped that they would do. I better look at the page and see what the problem is. One of the things that's changed, Kim, since you started, is the Google's willingness to make a pretty amazing tools available. I mean, the Google Analytics and the Website Optimizer. I mean, if we'd had that was stuff we would have dreamed of in 2002 and 2003 when you were first getting started.
Right.
Yeah, so for people that are just getting into this or have been in it a while and haven't yet taken advantage of these tools, basically Google is giving away world-class tools with the training, too. You can get the training from Google on their site for free.
Mm-hmm.
And this ability to track and test is really, really important. I remember you got involved pretty early on after your first seminar in you were marketing something related to health.
My business partner in the publicity firm had been a Body for Life champion in 2001. And so one of the things we did was she put together an information product on how to do the Body for Life challenge. It was a 12-week challenge. It was very popular at the time. And so that was one of the very first things we did with Google AdWords after being at the system. So not only did we use it for our existing business and then helping our clients, we then launched this side thing. And that was really fun because, yeah, we turned it on. We had started it before I came to the system, and I think we'd made, $400. I mean, it was just a tiny amount of money. And then we were able to leverage that into, $30,000 of revenue on this information product. Just, from what we learned. And that was the early days of Google when the clicks were low and, all that. But it was powerful. It was like, wow, okay. And then that also funneled into telling authors, hey, we know what we're doing because we did it with this, and this is how you do it with your book. And it all just synergistically worked together.
Absolutely. And I think that even today, it's 2010 and everything's definitely gotten more sophisticated. But when I look out into the market, I don't see a lot of there are certain fields that are saturated with know-how and savvy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the average niche, the average business, the average industry, is still really behind the curve on Internet marketing basics. I don't see a lot of opt-ins. I don't see a lot of good opt-ins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of people following up well. With their opt-ins. You mentioned Google AdWords. One of our faculty members this year at System Seminar 2010, Timothy Seward, he says, I forget the number he used, but it was a surprisingly high number of big accounts, people that are spending, $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 a month on their AdWords aren't even doing the most basic tracking and testing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I hear this from Perry. I hear this from Howie. They've got a good offer, and they have sort of good common sense, and they've somehow managed to find something where they put a dollar in and get a dollar 20 out, and they're thrilled, and they just keep turning the crank, and then they learn that oh my God, there's a thing called negative keywords, and I could stop buying $10,000 worth of words a month that go nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually test my ads, and my goodness, I just increased my bottom line 40% by testing three different ads. So the opportunities in Internet marketing absolutely still exist, and it's for two reasons. Number one, very few people are getting a comprehensive foundation in the business.
Yeah.
They learn a little bit of this, they learn a little bit of that. And then the other thing is very few people are willing to do all the things that need to be done, like the testing, like the tracking, there's a bit of a learning curve. But once you do it, it puts you in such an amazingly powerful place. You always know what ads are working. You know what ads aren't working. You know how to try. You know how to intelligently test one ad against another. You've obviously done a lot of work and talked with a lot of people who are using, let's say, mobile for business. Are the principles very different? Are there things that are set the same? What are the things that people should pay attention to if they're going into the mobile arena, in addition to, or let's say, instead of the internet arena? Or does it make sense just to go mobile? Or should everything mobile also have a web component?
I do not advise anybody to only do mobile. First of all, it's so new, and secondly, it just works best in conjunction with other technologies. If you're a business and you want to get people to sign up for your text campaign, you have to market it to them in signage and on your website and, you know, other things. So it's just a good integrated tool. It's not really a standalone. I mean, you know, yes, you could start a business and do mobile content and, you know, drive people there, and there's Google AdSense for mobile and all of that, but it's sort of the hard way of doing it at this point. It really is better to have it integrated with an existing business or with brick and mortar. One of the things that I think is a huge opportunity in both internet marketing and mobile marketing is learning the skills about how to use these tools and then taking these, you know, skills out and selling the knowledge through, you know, your services to, you know, brick and mortar businesses, you know, restaurants that are in your area, you know, nightclubs, spas, salon, I mean, just, you know, all of these businesses. If you just walk out, you know, if you live in a, you know, not a completely rural area, but if you just, you know, draw a 10-mile radius around your house, you have enough business to keep you going for, you know, forever. And that is so much more tangible than, okay, I'm going to start a business and I'm going to be competing with, you know, these, you know, online gurus who, you know, are ninjas at this already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the average business could quickly and permanently increase their profitability just by adding some simple tools like capturing email addresses, like doing regular emails and doing them right.
Right.
And yeah, there's this tremendous opportunity for being a service bureau. I mean, that exists. It existed and still exists today in the direct mail world, and I'm amazed that it hasn't really taken off in the internet world, because I think it would be even more effective in the internet world. You have things called mailing services, and they handle mailings for companies, because obviously it's not something you can really do in house. It's just as important to collect email addresses and generate monthly emails or weekly emails for a business. That almost always will make a business more money, especially announcing sales or announcing new products or announcing anything that's newsworthy. And the average business owner just doesn't have the time, the inclination, or the understanding to do this themselves. And so that's a great opportunity for people. We had a fellow, he's in Colorado, and I'm going to not remember his name, I'm sure. But he lives in an area that's kind of semi-rural. It's out in that, where those Leadville area, where those big mountains are. And he basically created an online portal for that area, and then went out and taught all the small businesses how to buy internet services from him.
Mm-hmm.
And they love him. I mean, they're spending money on advertising every month anyway. Why not spend it on something that works and something that's effective? And it takes time to ramp up, but the last time I talked with him, which was several years ago, he said two families, because I think they gave the business to their kids. He built it and then gave it to them, or sold it to them, or whatever. And two families with growing kids are paying all their bills and living, you know, nicely off that portal in a fairly remote part of Colorado. I mean, Leadville's not exactly the
It's a small mountain town. It is safe to say that is a small mountain town.
Okay, and then the region around Leadville is hardly, Orange County, California, right?
No, it's a bunch of more small mountain towns.
Okay, so if somebody can squeeze an income for two growing families out of the small business advertising opportunities in an area like that,
mm-hmm.
I think you can do it in other areas too. So great. So if you're intrigued by mobile, realize that you're going to have to become master of the other media as well. You can't just go mobile. Great. Have you seen any really good uses? I know you do annually. You do this Super Bowl ad review where you focus on mobile ads. Did it improve this year over last year? Were the ads better, or are the big companies still clueless?
They were so clueless. I was slapping my head over and over, like, stop it! You're missing the boat again. There were some definite high points. Cars.com did another great job by just showing a guy looking for, car information, and he happened to be outside, so it just went. He did it right on his phone. It was sort of just normal. The thing that I think was interesting was they had the text Haiti to 90999. That's been amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That they've generated $35 million on that one short code, one keyword phrase, to the Red Cross. And the biggest success story to date before that was a $450,000 donation from American Idol. So that alone, I think, is really exciting because it really brought text messaging, to the norm. People were just like, oh, yeah, if I want to donate, I do it via text. And it just, like, instantly became normal.
And that is a demonstration of one of the most important issues in marketing, which is make it easy for people to respond.
Mm-hmm.
Business owners would be, and website owners and would be shocked if someone were to sit down with them and show them all the obstacles that they put between their customers and what they want their customers to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Red Cross thing just shows, look, if you make it super simple, people will absolutely, especially if it's timely and it's emotionally charged,
mm-hmm.
and the price point's doable. I think $10, everybody feels like they can afford $10. And then all you have to do is sit down, punch in a few numbers, and press send. Done.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And you want to make it that easy for everything that you do. And that's sort of like the model,
exactly.
The ideal. So what else did you see that was good on the Super Bowl? Anybody else doing a good mobile related ad?
No, not really. There was more misses than there were hits. Denny's, I think, was the biggest, miss again. They gave away that free breakfast. And I just think, okay, so they got people on, one day lining up to get their free $6 breakfast or $7, whatever it is. And if what they did instead was say text, even if they had said text in to get the location, it would have taken some bandwidth off their servers, because I know last year it crashed their internet for people trying to find the Denny's closest to them to go get their free breakfast. And then they could have sent out, trickle over time over the year, here's, come get your free breakfast today instead
mm-hmm.
of, jumping it all in on that one day.
Gotcha. Do you think
stuff like that.
I hope someday they watch your show, your annual Super Bowl show.
That's my video.
And get advice from you.
And then
this is just proof of what we were talking about earlier, is the vast majority of businesses do not understand this stuff, do not mm-hmm. use it. Why? It's a mystery to me. It's a mystery to Kim. Doesn't really matter. We'll use it, and we'll profit from it.
Right.
How about small businesses? Have you seen any impressive small business applications that have integrated mobile with their marketing?
Well, mobile coupons are really sort of the best application for small business, and there's a couple of really cool things around that. Just doing it via text message, again, the opt-in of, hey, do you want to get on our list to hear when we have specials or, two-for-one nights or, whatever it is that you could offer in your business, and then just sending it out, because it's just like email. It's like you say, sort of a lowly autoresponder sort of thing. It's it can make or break a business. You know, restaurant as an example, if they're having a slow night, if you've got a list of people that are willing to know when you've got a two-for-one night, boom, send it out. It's on their phones. They're still not home yet. You know, they're still out and about. They, you know, you could drive some people in and you know, get some business before, if you sent it an email, it'd be too slow. They'd already be home before they got it.
Gotcha. You know, instant money, instant money. You know, if you're a restaurant and maybe you've just gotten a good deal on some, you know, great fish or something, you know, some rare fish, you can tell everybody, hey, you know. This is interesting because a lot of businesses understand the power of coupons.
Uh-huh.
And use them, but I'm going to venture to guess that very few know how to translate that into mobile. So this is yet another opportunity to be the mobile coupon person in your marketplace. It really is endless. Now it is kind of it's a new field and it's not firmly established. And I remember from the internet days, sometimes you see that it's going to be big. And you see that everybody's going to be using it, and it just takes longer than you can imagine. It's like, why isn't everybody getting this?
Yeah, you want to open your eyes. Well,
and then
the other part on that mobile coupons, Google actually has a way to do it for free that's really cool. The Google local listings, so getting your business in there, which every business should do, that also gets you onto the mobile web because they serve up their own listings when someone's searching. And then you can actually go in and input a mobile coupon on your Google local listing. So it's free to do that. And then if somebody, you know, doing a search, they find you, it'll pop up a little icon and show that you have a coupon. Then people can bring it in. So it's a free way to stick your toe in the water to see if anyone's finding you on mobile. It's sort of a good testing thing. Can't hurt to do it. Just train your staff so they know what to do when it comes in the door. But it's really cool.
Gotcha. And if you're a service provider, marketing services to small businesses, this is something that you could bring. Just because Google makes it free doesn't mean that it is free to do. I mean, someone has to have knowledge, someone has to have time, somebody has to have focus. So you could be that person. We have a member of our group who is looking into building a business around just helping small businesses simply with their free Google listings, because so many of them are missing the boat.
Yeah.
They're getting pushed out because other people are getting there first. We see cases where people are actually losing their business name in the local listings because someone's gone in and squatted on it, which probably will get sorted out at some point. But in the meantime, you're losing business. So what it seems like one of the plays with mobile is to become the expert of mobile applications for your industry, for your niche or your market, whether it's local or whether it's an industry, and just be the go-to person so that they can, take advantage of mobile without having to, crack lots of books and learn lots of stuff.
Right. It is, and I'll say this too, it's easy enough to be the expert in your area because not enough people know it yet, so it is really a good. It's wide open. You can definitely jump in and get there, and that's I do classes on that and teach people how to do that stuff.
Well, actually, let's talk about that. So, first of all, your book, The Mobile Marketing Handbook, which people can get from a lot of sources, and Amazon and Barnes and Noble and all that. Your local bookstore.
Yep.
Now you've got. I'm sure you've got a website or two where people can follow you.
Yeah, Mobile Marketing Profits. Profits, mobilemarketingprofits.com. That's really the best place to do it. I've got a free call that I have on there called the Mobile Marketing Goldmine, which people can sign up for to get a recording where I talk about some of the opportunities in mobile, what's out there, should be the next step, because I was finding that was a lot of the questions I was getting. So that's a really good first step. And then I have digital products that are, how to learn text messaging, how to just do a quick start in mobile if you're really just, hey, I just really need to make sure my blog is mobilized and maybe I want to dip my toe in the water on text messaging. I've got that as well, right on up to the Mobile Marketing Master's Class, which is, a six-week program, live classes, consultations on how to start a mobile business.
Great. Great. And I don't want to say that Kim's a typical system grad because everybody's different, everybody does different things. But it's not uncommon for someone to come to the system seminar not necessarily knowing a lot about internet marketing. I mean, maybe knowing a lot about internet marketing. We've had a lot of pros come and be amazed at the fine points that they weren't aware of. But it's very possible to come to one of our seminars and get very rapidly a strong foundation in internet marketing, strong enough that you can turn around and legitimately teach it to other people, other business owners, strong enough that you can use it to put your own business on the internet profitably, strong enough that you can do some fun stuff like, you know, the project that you and your partner did, selling the Fit for Life course, which turned out to be fun and profitable. You know, all these things are doable from the training. And then, and besides the sort of the quick progress that, that people make in the understanding, the thing that I'm most proud of, quite frankly, is that we lay such a strong foundation for students because we focus on it. We avoid the fads and we avoid the glamour stuff, and we really spend a lot of time trying to make sure we're clear about the things that matter the most. And as a result, we give an education that you can draw on not just for the first couple of weeks after the seminar or the first month or the first year, but you can literally draw on the rest of your life. And I know that sounds like a big thing, but Kim, you kind of alluded to that earlier in the call.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if you like what we're doing and you want to experience it live, every year we do a big conference seminar called the System Seminar. We've been doing it under that name since 2002. I've actually been teaching internet marketing since 1994, and I've been involved in talking about online marketing since 1993. And what I do is I find what I think is the most important topics for that year. This year, I really think the topics are back to the big topic is back to the basics. You know, we the economy is, they're not giving free money away anymore. You know, consumers are getting a little tight, and which is understandable. Credit is tight. We're kind of going, I think, into a pretty significant shift of outlook and attitude that's not going to change in the near future. Maybe a multi-year change, which is, well, you know what, for direct marketers, for smart internet marketers, no problem at all. No problem, because direct marketing done correctly is a very value-driven business. So we're always thinking about providing great value. So this year I really felt that we needed to really drill down. So I've got two of the best copywriters and copywriting trainers ever, you know, in history. One is Bob Bly. Bob's been writing copy for professionally for over 30 years. He's written, I can't even count the number of books that he's written. It's certainly more than 10. I think it's even more than 20. He was one of the first guys to teach copywriting to just regular folks, like one of the very, very first. Ad writing used to be something that you could only learn if you worked for an ad agency. That was the only way to learn it. And then way back in the 80s, Bob started teaching at NYU with Food Learning Annex in New York and some other places, teaching regular folks, hey, there's an opportunity in ad writing and here's how it works. Our other copywriting expert is Drayton Bird, who's got four decades of experience in copywriting. He built up one of the most successful and certainly one of the best, I would say, direct marketing agencies in all of England. And when the legendary David Ogilvy wanted to enter the UK market strongly, he came to the conclusion the best thing to do was to buy Drayton's agency and hire Drayton. And among other things, he sent Drayton around the world to pitch new accounts, but he also sent Drayton to the 100-plus David, Ogilvy and Mather offices to train the Ogilvy and Mather people in classic direct marketing strategies. So Drayton's not only, one of the best copywriters around, as proven by his decades of experience, he's arguably, possibly the most experienced teacher of direct marketing around. We're going to have both Bob and Drayton at System Seminar 2010. Very unusual, first time ever. I don't want to say once in a lifetime, but it's kind of hard to get these two guys together. Bob just flat out does not like to travel for business, and I don't blame him. And Drayton lives in London, so London to Chicago is not an easy trip. So if you're into copywriting, you want to learn copywriting, or you understand the importance of copywriting for the success of your business, and you want to be with two of the best guys ever, they're going to be with us at System 2010. Then on the traffic side, we've got some really, you know, real life nuts and bolts, no nonsense, no BS guys who buy, track and test millions of dollars a year in traffic. We've got Greg Davis, who will spend up to $50,000 a day of his own money buying traffic. He's obviously making a lot more than that, otherwise he wouldn't take the risk. Anybody that buys that kind of traffic, better believe, knows what he's doing, because, you know, two or three bad days in a row, and, you know, you're out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a very, very skilled at dealing with Google, dealing with Yahoo, dealing with MSN, and dealing with all the other little-known traffic sources and tracking them. And he's one of the best in a strange way, because, you know, the internet marketing is new, and Greg's been at it for about 10 years now. He's one of the best direct marketers I know. I mean, he really gets the power of a good ad and the importance of a good ad, and he's got a really good methodology for creating great ads. So we've got Greg Moskal, Greg Davis, who specializes in these really big consumer mass market offers. Then we have Ben Moskal, who's in a tight, very competitive niche of personal finance, credit cards, credit repair, that kind of thing. And he's buying very expensive clicks and able to convert them to the point that he generates over $1 million a year in commissions. Yeah, and that's a one-man show with some key vendors that he works closely with, but it's a very low overhead business. Ben started with us from scratch. In fact, he used these free calls, like the one you're on now, to get his business to the point that he could quit and replace his income as an attorney. He was working as an attorney firm. Not bad. And then a couple of years later, he came to us and actually took the paid training, so you can get a lot from these free calls. And then we're going to have Tim Seward, and Tim's got over 70 clients. He manages and advises them on their AdWords and other media buys. His clients spend anywhere from a couple of $1,000 a month to over $500,000 a month on advertising, and they look to Tim for the real, no-nonsense guidance on how to manage campaigns that size and how to make sure they're profitable. So I think we've got the conversion side, which is really another word for copywriting, down as well as it can possibly be presented. And we've got three, you know, no baloney, no nonsense, serious traffic guys who spend real money every day on traffic, track it and test it. And they're all going to be together in Chicago. That'll be this April 9th through 11th. Pretty good, huh, Kim? You've been to a lot of our events. It's not a bad one.
Sounds really good. It sounds like they might have a little more time to talk as well with fewer speakers.
You know, that's a good point. We experimented a while back with a true conference model. I think one year we had 28 faculty members, five simultaneous sessions, and everybody... We liked it. It was good because it allowed us to give a lot of new speakers a chance who otherwise might not have gotten a chance to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Problem was, it's hard, you know, doing quality control on five simultaneous seminars, and also didn't give people time to follow up with any given speaker. So, you know, it's just going to be the six of us. We're kind of going back. It's not only are we going back to the basics, we're kind of going back to the roots of the very original system trainings, which really only had a strong but small core of faculty. This way, if something's really catching fire and people are really interested in a particular topic and want to go more deeply into it, we've got the time flexibility. We're going to be able to do impromptu panels. We're going to be able to do a lot of question and answer. We're going to be able to do hot seats, all kinds of things that aren't necessarily possible when you have one of these very packed seminars. So, yeah, and for me, it's easier to manage six guys than it is to manage, 28. So I'm excited about it. We've done a lot of seminars like this recently over in England, but for practical reasons, because, you know, you can't bring 28 people to England, but you can bring five, and if four of them are already in England, it makes it feasible. And it reminded me of how just the quality of that kind of experience is really something.
Yeah.
So this will, again, be April 9th through 11th in Chicago, and it's thesystemseminar.com. And if you're already in the internet marketing business and you've never been to a systems seminar, you really, I think you're really missing the boat. If you are have a reason to learn internet marketing in a serious way, I kind of strongly recommend that you put us on the top of your list of things to do. I mean, there are a million and one options, but there is no seminar that's been going continuously since 2002, or if you go back to 94, since 94. Nobody has trained as many people that have gone on to become legitimate authorities in the field. The Tim Duschinskys, the Perry Marshalls, the Howie Jacobsons. You just don't see seminars produce people who attain these kinds of levels of expertise. And the nice thing about this year, you know, I tell people, I say, look, you want to know about our copywriting speakers? Just go to Amazon. I don't even have to tell you anything about them. Just look at their books and look at the reviews and look how highly esteemed they are in their fields. So anyway, we'd love to see you if it makes sense for you. If not, that's fine. Maybe we'll catch you another year. Whatever you do, take advantage of these calls.
Yeah.
They're all of this level. Yes, we're doing a little bit of promotion here. We're also trying to give you some hard stuff that you can use immediately. And, in fact, many people have used nothing more than these calls to start and grow businesses, which we're perfectly happy with. You know, we'll probably catch up with you later, if not this year. But for those of you that are ready, thesystemsseminar.com in Chicago, April 9th through 11th. Now is the time to focus on the core skills of marketing, if ever there was a time. Those who are going to survive into the coming years and thrive are going to be those that focus on basics and stick with them and aren't distracted by a million and one side issues. And if we're good at anything, we are good at keeping our nose focused on what really works. So Kim Duschinsky, author of the Mobile Marketing Handbook, thanks for taking the time to share some of your insights into mobile marketing and some of your experience with the System Seminar. Hopefully we'll see you in Chicago. I know you've got a busy schedule too. This is my problem. My students get so busy after my seminars. They're speaking here and they're writing this book and going there. Sometimes they can't make it to the seminars, but you come to all the ones that you can, I know.
Yes, yes.
So it's thesystemseminar.com, and we'll see you all there in Chicago.